The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." He said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Praised be Jesus Christ. Today's feast makes clear what must be the source and ultimate goal of all priestly ministry: union of heart with the royal heart of Christ the High Priest, who by his grace has chosen and consecrated the priest as a brother by an altogether special title. Union with Christ, made visible in the attitudes, words, and actions of the priest, is of necessity, first of all, invisible union with Christ in the hidden life of prayer and contemplation. The priest is the instrument of the pastoral charity, flowing from the glorious, pierced heart of Jesus, to whom the priest has given his undivided heart, above all, in prayer and through contemplation. In the Gospel account, our Lord invites two disciples to embrace the apostolic vocation with the simple and unequivocal words which every priest has heard in the depth of his heart: "Follow me." But both disciples find a reason to delay a full-hearted response to the call of our Lord. Both hesitate to embrace the life of the Son of Man, who, belonging totally to the Father in obedient love, has ultimately no place to call his own, nowhere to rest his head. For both, family concerns keep them from following our Lord with all their heart. While those concerns are, from a purely human perspective, most understandable and even commendable, they necessarily cede primacy of place to our Lord and to his call. It is not that the priest no longer cares for his family or abandons all concern for them, especially his parents, which is not at all the way of our Lord himself, whose mother, the Virgin Mary, was perfectly one in heart with him from the moment of her immaculate conception, in view of his virginal conception in her womb, to the moment of his saving death, when his most sacred death on the cross, when his most sacred heart was pierced by the soldier's spear, and her immaculate heart, perfectly one with his pierced heart, was mystically pierced. The joyful mystery of the finding of the Lord in the temple inspires us to reflect on how our Lord was obedient to his mother and to his foster father Joseph, while at the same time given totally in obedience to the Father. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Clearly, for God the Son incarnate, there is no contradiction between the primacy of the perfect union of his heart with the heart of God the Father and the filial piety which united him also in heart with the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the purest heart of Saint Joseph. The accounting of the finding of our Lord in the temple concludes, "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart." St. Paul, reflecting upon his own apostolic vocation and mission, expresses what must be first and foremost for the priest. He writes, "I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." He goes on to explain that any righteousness which he can claim has only one source, the righteousness of God, to whom he has given his undivided heart, his entire being. Such righteousness, known only in Christ and lived only in Christ, means the daily dying to self in order to be alive for Christ alone, the daily sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, which is life, indeed eternal life for the priest and for all those for whom he has been called and sent. St. Paul makes clear that such righteousness, the unity of an undivided heart with the glorious pierced heart of Jesus, is not a matter of a single event, even though it has its first moment in priestly consecration, but a matter of a lifetime, of an unchanging state of life. He writes, "It is not that I have already taken hold of it, or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus." Then, describing the way of his priestly life, he expresses what must come first in the daily life of every priest. "Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus." The mind and heart of the priest given totally to Christ, above all in the offering of the Eucharistic sacrifice, is the first and highest expression of his vocation and mission of pastoral charity on behalf of all the faithful. The truth of the priestly vocation and mission is visibly manifested in a wonderful way when he stands at the head of the consecration, facing the Lord while uniting the offering of all the faithful to the Eucharistic sacrifice of Christ the High Priest, in whose person he offers it. Saint Bruno, a brother priest, incarnated in an extraordinary way the truth of the priestly life about which the Holy Scriptures have led us to reflect on this his feast day, the day of his birth into heaven in the year 1101. Dom Prosper Guéranger, reflecting upon the gift of the Holy Spirit given to Saint Bruno for the foundation of the religious family of Carthusians and of the primacy of place of the Carthusians among all religious communities in the church, writes this in his commentary for today's feast. "Among the diverse religious families, none is held in higher esteem by the church than the Carthusian. And yet it is, of all, the least given to active works. Is not this a new and not the least convincing proof that outward zeal, how praiseworthy soever, is not the only or the principal thing in God's sight? The church in her fidelity values all things according to the preferences of her divine spouse. Now our Lord esteems his elect not so much by the activity of their works as by the hidden perfection of their lives, that perfection which is measured by the intensity of divine life, and which, and of which it is said, "Be you therefore perfect, as also your heavenly Father is perfect." Again, it is said of this divine life, "You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." The life of the priest is necessarily marked by zeal for the mission entrusted into his care, by hard work in fulfilling the many responsibilities of his apostolic ministry. It is not the case that our Lord wants his priest to lack in any way his own zeal for souls, but his zeal is not primary. The union of heart with his Eucharistic heart is primary. From the union of the priest's heart with the heart of Christ the High Priest flows true zeal, which expresses itself in so many works of pastoral charity accomplished through, with, and in Christ. The cultural situation in our day, a situation marked by the deepest confusion and error about the most fundamental truths of the moral law and of our faith, a confusion and error which also manifests itself in the corruption of the Christian life, even the life of priests and consecrated religious, tempts us to give ourselves ever more zealously to our priestly works, to the detriment of the life of prayer and contemplation, to the detriment of the union of our hearts with the royal heart of Christ the High Priest. Satan knows that if we give ourselves ever more to works, while neglecting or even abandoning the life of prayer, we will be soon prey to a loss of faith and hope, and our works will soon be void of the divine love which necessarily animates the priestly life. So Satan is content to have us carry out intensely good works for a time, because he has in view our ultimate and inevitable fall because of our lack of prayer and devotion. At a time when the demands of his apostolic ministry have never seemed greater, the priest must all the more attend to the source and the ultimate end of all his priestly labors, the union of his heart and of the hearts of those in his priestly care with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who alone is our life and salvation. Don Prosper Guéranger, reflecting upon the Church's maternal care of the Carthusians and other contemplative religious families, especially at times when she is under the greatest threat from her enemies, offers us an important reflection. "Hence, though the field of labor is ever widening, though the necessity of warfare and struggle grows ever more urgent, she does not hesitate to shield with the protection of her laws and to encourage with the greatest favors all who are called by grace to the life of the desert." The reason is not far to seek. In an age when every effort to arrest the world in its headlong downward career seems vain, has not man greater need than ever to fall back upon God? The enemy is aware of it, and therefore the first law he imposes upon his votaries is to forbid all access to the way of the councils and to stifle all life of adoration, expiation, and prayer. For he well knows that though a nation may appear to be on the verge of its doom, there is yet hope for it as long as the best of its sons are prostrate before the majesty of God. Have we not been witnesses to this deadly subterfuge of Satan in our time? While a rampant secularization, completely hostile to our Lord and His Holy Church, has been upon us, Satan led many religious families to abandon the essential elements of the consecrated life, and he has tried to snuff out the devotional life, above all, Eucharistic and Marian devotion. Let us now, one with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of Christ and Mother of the Church, lift up our hearts to the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus. Participating in the mystery of faith, let us place our hearts totally into the glorious, pierced heart of Jesus. Let us pray through the intercession of His Mother and of Saint Bruno that all priests may be undivided in heart with the royal heart of Christ the High Priest, so that His pastoral charity may reach all men. Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness, have mercy on us. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus and true spouse of the Virgin Mary. Saint Bruno, Saint John Mary Vianney. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.